Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. We're talking about victory, and you know who you are. It's a good thing to know who you are and understand that you have victory. We're talking about, praise the Lord, we're talking about being kingdom-minded for kingdom business. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another anointed broadcast of the Mantle of God program, a ministry program. Amen. We're brought to you by Interpraisement Media Group, EMG, and sponsored by Nathan on the Spot. Amen. My name is Minister Arthur L. Weathersby. I'm going to be the host for the evening in the honor to be sitting in on behalf of the EMG visionary, Minister Faith Walker. Amen. And we're going to have an anointed program. Amen. I'm going to open up in prayer, and then we're going to introduce the man of God who's going to come forth, and he's going to bless us. I know he is. Amen. Gracious and eternal Father, Lord God, I come to this hour just to say thank you. Thank you, for Lord God, for being with us throughout this day. Thank you, Father God, for allowing us to come to this moment in time as we just move forward, oh Father God, still in praise and worship and ministering, oh Father God, in your name. Now, dear God, I just ask you, forgive us for any and all sins that we may have committed throughout this day. Anything that we've done that was knowingly and unknowingly not pleasing within your sight, I ask for forgiveness. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you bless the man of God that's going to come forth, oh Father God, in whatever way that you have already designed for him to come, Father God. We know that he has a word for us, oh Lord God, that he has something that he has to share with your people, Lord God. And we pray, Father God, that those that are listening in, that they have not only ears to hear, but they also become doers of the word. We ask that you bless our visionary, Father God, Minister Faith Walker, in his travels, Lord God. Be with all that are associated with EMG staffing, oh, Lord God, Pastor Nathan Hill, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the listeners, oh, Lord God, those that are listening on the Internet, those that are calling in by listening in on the phone, Father God, we ask that you bless each and every one. And, Father God, we just want to say we love you, we adore you, we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And this is my humble prayer that I come to you at this hour. In the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pastor Isaiah Robertson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's a pleasure, sir. It's a pleasure. I'm looking forward to whatever the Lord's going to have you to do on this evening, sir. I'm just going to ask you, sir, why don't you just tell the listeners something about you, your ministry, your ministry, and anything that you feel that you want to share with them? Go right ahead, sir. The floor is yours.
Sure, sure. Well, first of all, I just want to say that the pleasure is all mine. I really appreciate you guys reaching out and allowing me to have this platform. And I'm excited about everything that's going on in Interpraisement Media. And so I just want to thank you for the opportunity. And, you know, just a little bit about me. You know, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody. And I've been saved since I was 17 years old. Was in youth ministry for many, many years. Originally from Southern California, so I was a youth pastor at a couple of churches in Southern California. Then I came out to Atlanta in 2005. Was a youth pastor at a church in Stone Mountain called Berean Christian Church. And then the Lord led me to, in 2009, the Lord led me to plant a church in Metro Atlanta called Heart of the Father Christian Church. And we were open for 2 years, and God did amazing things, but then I went through an amazing crisis. During that crisis, I walked away from God. I walked away from the ministry. I walked away from my own mind. I like to say I lost my mind during that time. And really what it revealed to me was my level of maturity, that I wasn't as mature as I thought I was. I wasn't as spiritually stable as I thought I was. When a crisis like that hits, somebody more mature is kind of able to weather it and navigate through it. But I threw in the towel and spent some time in the wilderness in exile. And so grateful for my pastor, Pastor Marquise Boone, who wouldn't let me stay in exile, but God used him to pull me back into ministry. And now I'm the associate pastor at his church, at Fresh Start Church in Duluth, Georgia, under the leadership of my pastor, my apostle, Marquise Boone. And God is really, he's restoring me. He's rebuilding me, and he's opening up doors again, and that's what I'm so excited to see. And that's why I welcome this opportunity, because went through a period of time when nobody wanted to touch me with a 10-foot pole.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was ostracized. I was talked about. People made up stories about me. Some of them false. Some of them true. You know, spent a period of time where my ministry was just dormant, man. And this was actually after experiencing a lot of favor on my ministry. You know, God sent me out to Australia. I went out to the Bahamas to minister. Mm-hmm. I was all across the U.S., and God was really opening up doors. And then once my church closed, everything went silent. Everything. Mm-hmm. Phone Amen. Stopped ringing. And honestly, just in the past, I'd say 3 weeks to a month, God has been, you know, rebuilding my ministry little by little, and I'm just grateful for every opportunity that exists out there, man. Thank you.
Praise God, sir. I just make a few comments with regards to that. All I kept hearing was Romans 8:28. About all things working together
yes.
for good for them love the Lord that are called according to his purpose. And then I was
yes.
mindful of the fact that God has done this with people on several occasions in the Bible, where he had to take them out from where they were, take them out to a wilderness experience so that he can shape and mold them and remake them and then
Absolutely.
Bring them back into their purpose. He
Absolutely.
Did that with Moses. And matter of fact, we're going to use the greatest example that we have. It happened with Christ. He didn't have to take him out there to reshape him and mold him, but he took him out there in that period of time where the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord led him out into the wilderness so he can be tried and tempted of the devil. And then
yeah.
after that, when he came through that, he went into his earthly ministry. And I just thank God for, you know, I know that God has a way of shaping, reshaping, and remaking us. And it's all to his glory and destiny. I always say this, anything that we go through is not a negative. It really isn't a negative. It's a part of the process that God will have
that's
us to go through. Whatever your situation is, that's a part of what he has to bring you through to bring you to where he's going to take you into the future. And you just said something about things happening within the last month or so. I can attest to that
yeah.
for myself. So God, yeah. it's just that season for that. Where he's refining
yeah.
his people, and he's bringing them out, and he's launching you into your
yeah.
purpose. So
yeah.
I'm grateful. I'm happy for you, sir.
Yeah, and you know, hindsight is always 20/20. You know, while I was going through, and I can be candid, I believe in being transparent. I believe that when people are afraid to tell their testimony, then they hurt somebody that might benefit
yes, sir.
From it. So I went through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to somebody that I had been married to since I was 18 years old.
Oh, my.
And it rocked my world, man. And
may I ask, how old are you now, sir?
Now I'm 33.
Okay, because you look young on that picture.
Oh, well, God is good, man. You know what there is, man? All I drink is water. All I drink is water, so that keeps the wrinkles away.
Yes, sir.
But
go ahead.
Sir. Yeah, so, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, man. While I was in the midst of my divorce and while I was going through the struggle, I didn't understand. And I was confused and I was upset, and there was a period and a moment where, you know, I was having it out with God on a daily basis, but now that I'm on the other side of it, I realize that, number one, God was trying to mature me. He was trying
mm-hmm.
to grow me up.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't who I thought I was, you know what I mean? I thought
yes,
more highly of myself than who I really was. So God was really trying to mature me and grow me up. Number two, he was trying to give me clarity, because before I went through what I went through, I knew that God called me, but I didn't really know why, and I didn't really know who I was. You know, I knew that I had a ministry inside of me, but I didn't really have the clarity of what that ministry was to look like. And here I was, the lead pastor of a church, not really fully understanding who God had uniquely created me to be. And, of course,
yes,
when you don't know who you are, you imitate others. And
that's
so
right.
I was just a cheap copy of a bunch of true originals, and it was through this period of my life where God really turned on the lights and gave me clarity in my ministry. And really, my ministry can be boiled down, you know, to three words: simple, powerful, and relevant.
All right.
And I didn't get that until I went through what I went through.
Now, you know, Pastor Robinson, since we're there, we're going to park it right here, because I think this is very important. If somebody's out here is going to be, they need to hear this information. There may be someone that gets delivered based upon your testimony tonight and how you're explaining how God brought you from where you were to where you are today. Let me just ask this pointed question. The marriage, how was that founded? What was it founded upon? This was someone that you had known since you're, I think you married him at 18, is that not right?
Yeah, man, this was, this. So
that was
just
flesh,
huh? Yeah, well, just to kind of give you some background, man, I was 17 when I got into ministry, and I had a girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
And I knew that God had called me. I knew that God had given me the ability to communicate the gospel, but I didn't want to stop messing with, you know, my girlfriend, you know.
Right.
And of course, it wasn't a holy relationship. It wasn't a sanctified relationship. We were fornicating. And so I was faced with the crisis. I didn't want to let her go, but also I didn't want to stop indulging, you know, my flesh. So, you know, I said, well, it's better to marry than to burn with passion. And so I ended up getting married. And
yes,
and that was really the motive behind the marriage.
My. And the reason why this all is so relevant, I just happen to be, along with my fiance, we're the co-hosts of another program that EMG sponsors on, that is brought to us by EMG and sponsored by Nathan on the Spot on Saturdays, called Unless the Lord Builds the House. And,
yep,
of course, we know that,
yep,
comes from Psalm 127:1a.
That's right.
Where it says,
that's
unless,
right,
the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain, mm-hmm, that build it.
Dang,
that got,
right,
born from a vision that the visionary for EMG, Minister Faith Walker, had about having a program on Saturday nights at 9 o'clock to get people before they got in the clubs, and even more so for Christians that may still hang out, you know, got their foot in, one foot in the church and one foot in the world,
right,
that go,
right,
to the club and party and then show up on Sunday morning and getting their praise on. This was born from a book that I wrote about Unless God Builds the House, and I talk about relationship building, but I focus on the marriage. And
the
Lord showed me that marriage needs to be founded upon nothing less than Jesus Christ, and it has to be both parties have to be rooted in that before,
yes,
you go to anything else. And
yes,
if you don't build it, it ain't gonna last. And something
true
else that
indeed.
I was feeling when you were talking, sir, if you can let me know if I'm right about that thing, but it sounded like to me that it wasn't until the year that King Uzziah died and God had to move your Uzziahs out of your eyes, which was that marriage. Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying, sir. That's what I was feeling. That until that happened, that you didn't realize nothing until you saw the Lord.
Yeah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord.
Go ahead, sir.
Seated on the throne. Yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, I knew God, and I'll be honest, I knew God before my divorce.
Yeah.
But after my divorce, you know, it was a totally different level, man. Where head knowledge became heart experience, and there's a difference. There's a difference between head knowledge and heart experience, and you know, it was when God was stripping me that I realized how much of his presence was just a necessity in my life, whereas beforehand, you know, it was kind of routine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It had turned into this repetitive type of, yeah, I know God, and we cool, and
mm-hmm,
I'm a pastor, and I'm a leader, and I'm anointed, and I know the word, and I know theology, and it was just kind of this mundane thing. But when he stripped me, and when he pulled the rug from under me,
yes, sir,
I couldn't fall back on anything that I thought I knew before.
That's
right. It was Jesus, teach me all over again, show me all over again, help me to understand all over again. I realize that what I've learned up to this point is foolishness.
Yeah.
I need you to reteach me as if I'm a baby again. And that's what he did. And he's still doing that, you know?
Yes, sir.
I haven't apprehended yet. You know what I mean?
But you're on the right track.
And
that's what people understand. Uzziah,
yeah,
he knew God. He was a prophet.
Yes.
But,
yes,
you know, those Uzziahs are things that block our vision from seeing or
that's
hearing
right.
from God. Anything that we might exalt above measure in the place of God, a people, place, or thing can be an Uzziah.
Sure. That's right.
So, and we know that God is he's yet trying to transform us and make us more into resembling him and to be in tune with him. And it was just the season for the time for him to do that with you, I believe. And not only that, we just thank God because, again, I when you were saying all that, I was listening in my mind. This song has popped in my head because it's a good song for that. this young brother, and I think he needs to go listen. It was prophetic. He sang it way back some years back. A young brother by the name of Tone, who happens to be a pastor, he sang the song, Lord, Make Me Over.
Make me over again. And, you know, I realized after the marriage died that that marriage, it really was my crutch. Remember,
yes,
I got married when I was 18.
Yes, sir.
So I never really, I went from relying on my mama to relying on my wife.
Uh-huh.
And never in the equation did I rely on God.
You know what I mean? Yes, sir.
I went from expecting my mama to take care of everything to leaning on my wife to take care of everything.
Yes, sir.
And then once she was gone, it was, God, you take care of everything.
Because I ain't got
my mama. I ain't got my wife. All I got is you. And sometimes when you're stripped naked and when God exposes those weaknesses and deficiencies in your life, it's so that you can cry out and say, cover me, Lord, because apparently what I was covered with before wasn't strong enough to really, you know, strengthen me and help me the way that I needed it to help me. So, you know, you're on point with that, brother. Definitely on point with that, man.
Well, you know, sir, I mean, it's just a matter of us understanding, and a lot of people, the callers, that are, the listeners out there need to understand is that God wants to have, he wants to have preeminence in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And we, unfortunately, we don't recognize it at the time that we're doing it, but we have a way of putting people, places, and things in places where God should only be. And when that happens, we're going to have a problem. Then when he really, when it's time for him to move and to move in our lives and to us to become fully operating in our purpose, well, he'll find a way.
Yes, sir.
He'll find a way to get our attention.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, one of the earmarks, you know, in my ministry now, that whole relevant piece is pulling people out of religion.
Mm.
That's such a huge focus in my ministry now, because I realize now how religion blinded my eyes from a true relationship with Jesus. How I had settled into the routine. And I was more intimate with the routine than I was with the God that I was preaching about. So when I say that relevance is a huge part of my ministry, it's not about, you know, dressing a certain way or being trendy, but it's about helping people to understand that there's a spirit out there called religion that if it gets attached to your life, you will relate to God as if he's predictable. And you will expect him to operate the same way over and over again, and you will lean on what he did in 2010 and forget that he's right now God. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 43, he says, "Behold, I will do a new thing," says the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes,
and
sir.
So the goal and the push of my ministry nowadays is to help believers to see that we serve a creative God that doesn't color inside the lines, that exists outside of the box. And the moment that you start relating to God like he's predictable, that's the moment that you begin to shrivel spiritually. You've got to understand that we need daily bread, right? If we rely on yesterday's manna, we're going to be eating stuff and filling our stomachs with food that's spoiled and rotten and full of worms. So if we wake up each day understanding that this is a daily, moment by moment, minute by minute relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that I've got to talk with him, that I've got to relate to him, got to commune with him, that I can't rely on what I learned in 2010, but I've got to learn something afresh every single day, then that'll help us from getting stuck. And that's where I was stuck.
Yes, sir. And for those that are listening in, that may have, you know, I don't know how they came up through the process of coming to Christ, and you may have learned this thing a little wrong. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship.
That's right.
It's a relationship, and that thing has to be cultivated daily like you would cultivate any relationships.
Right.
And we know the Bible tells us that morning by morning, new mercies we receive from the Lord, and there's a reason why he gives us new mercies, because we're supposed to renew ourselves with him.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, sir.
And you know, we see the effects of religion all throughout Scripture. You know, 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman. Naaman had the opportunity to be healed of his leprosy, right?
Yes, sir.
But he almost missed it because he wasn't willing to obey the creative instructions of God, right?
Mm-mm-mm.
The prophet Elisha said, dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. Naaman got mad.
Dirty water.
Yeah, but then first of all, you don't tell me to dip in the Jordan. The Jordan is dirty, it's murky, it's nasty, it's a sewer. How come I can't, you know, dip in the rivers of Damascus? Second of all,
right.
Why can't the prophet just come out the house and wave his hand over me and say some words like I've heard it done before?
I'm a great man.
Yeah, right, exactly. And he almost missed out on the creative way that God wanted to heal him.
Yes, sir.
Because he didn't want to obey the creative instructions that came from the creative God. And that's what happens with religion. With religion, we don't want to obey creative instructions because it's unfamiliar. It doesn't feel
right.
Like it's outside of our denomination. It wasn't in our Baptist hymnal. It doesn't line up with our sensibilities about our Presbyterian doctrine or our Pentecostal doctrine. And so we stay confined to what we used to do and what we used to think, and we miss what God is trying to do today. And that I believe that grieves the spirit. I believe that grieves the spirit.
Absolutely, because what we have to understand is that God is a type of God. God doesn't fall on tradition, and that's because tradition is associated with man, and unfortunately we fall into more traditional things to do than we do according to God's way of doing things, because His way is contrary to the way
right.
we think. The Bible tells us that He don't even think like us. His ways
right.
are not like us.
Right.
He don't operate the way that we, our minds say, well, this is how it should go. God says,
right.
no, I'm doing a new thing and I'm going this
exactly.
way. Why? Because
exactly.
I'm God and I can do that. You can't.
Right.
But if you
right.
if you just put your faith and trust in me, them that believe, all things are possible. But you know, Pastor, what I believe the problem is, we're not willing to humble ourselves. That Naaman,
yeah.
he wasn't willing to humble himself.
No,
he said,
no.
I'm a great man. I'm not going to get
right.
in no muddy waters.
Right,
I could have got it waters where I'm at.
Right, right. But the crazy thing about it is, we see a little bit of Naaman's ability to be humble in verses 2 and 3 of the text, because the first word came from a servant girl, right?
Yes,
the
it did.
The servant girl said, hey, there's a prophet in Samaria named Elisha. You can be healed there. And
yes.
rather than Naaman saying, you know, who are you? You're a servant girl. I shouldn't listen to you. I'm the commander of the army of Syria. I'm somebody important. Naaman heeds her words. So we do see some humility there. Where we see the arrogance is when God gives the creative instruction.
That's right.
Right. After God gives the creative instruction, something totally out of the box and unorthodox to what Naaman was familiar with, that's when pride kicks in. And that's when this rigid, inflexible desire to have it his way kicks in. And you're right, he had to be humbled in order to receive his healing.
That's right, that's right. And it sort of reminds me of somewhat of the story that happened with the husband of Elizabeth, the
yes.
mother of John the Baptist, when the angel of the
uh-huh.
Lord, after he had left Mary, the mother
mm-hmm.
of Jesus, and he showed up in the Holy of Holies and talked to Zacharias and told him that your wife's been barren all these years, she's about ready to have a child.
Right.
And he questioned that because
right.
she was old and he just couldn't see it. But my problem with him was, and I know God had a problem with him as well. First of all, you know, if you're going to question it, the Holy of Holies was not the place to question, make that question. Because
exactly.
there's nobody in there but you and God.
Exactly.
And so God dealt with him because of his disbelief.
Exactly.
And his doubt. Because,
exactly.
again, that's
exactly.
what we have to understand. You know, God is, he don't mind you questioning. If you got need some clarity come your way, he'll gladly make sure you have clarity, because he don't want you perishing for lack of knowledge. But he don't want you
right.
doubting him.
Right. Right, right, right. Yeah, and I think that's kind of the crux of the issue. You know, we see many different instances where doubt led the disciples to go off the deep end. Doubt motivated by fear, right? Doubt motivated
yes,
by fear. I think of the Mount of Transfiguration, look at that, Mark 9, the Mount of
yes.
Transfiguration, and Jesus began to show himself in a different way, right? His
yeah.
clothes became whiter than any launderer can wipe them, the text says. And then Moses and Elijah appears with them, and it's this glorious view of Jesus that Peter, James, and John hadn't seen on the ground level, right? While they were on the ground level with Jesus, they saw Jesus, but they didn't see him in this way. They didn't see him in this light. It was new. It was different. It was fresh, right?
Yes, sir.
And then because they were a little afraid of what was happening up there, Peter says, you know what? Let's build some monuments.
Let's
build some monuments. Three of them, as a matter of fact.
Yes, sir.
One to Elijah, one to Moses, and let's build one to you, Jesus. And it took the father having to say, no, hold up. Let's focus on Jesus only, right?
That's
for
right.
the disciples to realize, whoa, we missed this thing totally. Here Peter was about to build some monuments to dead people.
Yes, sir.
Right? Elijah and Moses were dead. The only one living up there was Jesus.
That's right.
But because Peter's doubt and fear got intermingled with his experience, he was about to build some monuments to some things that couldn't even help him and couldn't bring him out. That's dangerous.
Yes, it is.
How many of us build monuments to dead things? You know what I mean? We place things that are dead relationships, dead jobs, you know what I mean? Dead opportunities that we're still trying to build monuments to and worship as if they have the ability to bring us out today. When in reality, God is saying, I killed it for a reason. I killed it so that you could focus on me alone and realize that I'm the one that's sustaining you, I'm the one that's providing for you, and I'm the one that's going to bring you into victory. But so often, we have these, remember the man in Gadarenes, the demon-possessed man?
Yes.
Who was cutting himself and living in the tombs, he was more comfortable with dead things than he was out in the open in the sunlight. And we can become like that, where we're so accustomed to being involved in a dead relationship, where we're more comfortable in a dead relationship than we are in something new and fresh and life-giving. And that's not what the Lord wants for any of us.
No, it isn't, sir. And I recall, if I'm not mistaken, when he was calling disciples and he was asking them to follow him, he told somebody, and they said, well, you know, I got to, you know, bid me to not, you know, follow you right now. I got to bury the dead. He said, let the dead bury the dead.
Let the dead bury the dead. That's right. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And Jesus, you know, Jesus was a Savior that was totally outside of the system. Totally outside of the system.
Yes, sir.
Nathaniel looked at Jesus and said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?"
Right? That's right, sir.
So here's this man who society says, you know, shouldn't be educated. He was a carpenter by trade, but yet at 12 years old, he's in the temple astounding the religious people, the scholars, and the priests with his wisdom. But yet he was born in a manger. He's from Bethlehem. He set up his ministry in Capernaum, which was a homeless fishing village. And this is our Messiah?
Yes.
Jesus is saying, your blessing is outside of the system.
Come on.
Your next level is outside of the system.
Come on.
What's going to build your life is outside of the system. Stop looking in the system for what's ultimately going to take you to the next level. Because the only thing that's inside of the system is stuff that you can celebrate what happened yesterday, but you can't live in what happened yesterday. Because what happened yesterday has to eventually be buried, and you have to embrace what's happening today. And this is, I believe, one of the major cruxes of my ministry is to really help people embrace Jesus daily. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, sir. You go ahead. You're flowing there.
No, I was just going to say, you know, it's easier said than done, right? The reason why people cling to religion over relationship, because, number one, it's familiar.
That's
right,
sir. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, you know, those hymns that I sing every Sunday, they're familiar.
Yes.
You know, the clothes that I wear every Sunday, they're familiar. You know, I'm used to this. I like this. It's
Thank
comfort
you,
to me.
Yes.
But in a relationship, you're going to be pushed to the limit sometimes. In order for a relationship to thrive, it's got to go through some periods of testing, some periods of discomfort, some periods of uncomfortability, some periods of uncertainty in order for it to become a robust, life-giving relationship. And some people, when the relationship becomes a little weird and when the relationship becomes a little different and when more is required of us in the relationship, we cling back to religion because religion doesn't ask anything of us. Religion says, this is where it's comfortable, plant your flag here, and you'll be all right in this zone and in this spot. And that's why people will spend 30 years in a religious place but never fully experience the abundant life that God is calling them to.
Amen.
But it happens.
Yes, sir. And just for the people that are listening on the internet, this is the Mantle of God program ministry. And if you're listening in, if you want to dial in, if you want to ask a question, it's area code 347-945-5416. And we're here with Pastor Isaiah Robinson, and he's really dropping some knowledge on us, amen, about what we need to understand about our relationship with God and what it's not and what it really is. And I thank God for this because, sir, you just don't know. You've echoed things that I've been God showed me in this book that I wrote about building of relationships. And one of the things that I'm very clear on, because I look at the Word of God, and you really hit it. God does not. He's not doing something according to what we're accustomed and what our familiar, what our brain and our mind is familiar with. And he's also doing the same thing with relationships. That's why he said that you have to really go through him to establish that relationship. Amen. It's significant for that because, again, the relationship, as he showed it to me, that it has to be built through him because when you seek him, you're going to find the person you're looking for.
That's right. That's right.
Because
they
should be in him.
That's right. That's right. And when we seek him and when we have a daily relationship with the Lord, then we experience the manifested presence of God, right? There's a difference between the presence of God and the manifested presence of God, right? We know that God is omnipresent, right? That's one of his attributes. He's everywhere.
Yes.
He's here. He's in Atlanta. He's in Africa. He's in China. He's everywhere at once, right?
Yes.
But the manifested presence of God is something different. If you know somebody that's shy and quiet, they can be somewhere. They can be somewhere, right? But they don't really manifest themselves until they decide to make themselves known and speak
that's
up
right.
and do something to help you know, oh, this person is there. Now, they might be there all along. Their presence might be there all along.
Yes.
But you can miss them. You can miss them until they decide to manifest themselves and speak
on,
up
sir.
And say something and move in a new way. And when we have a relationship with God and seek after him, that's when God is more than just present. But he manifests his presence. And he says, because you're seeking after me, I can move in your life. Because you're seeking after me, I got to speak up. Yes, I'm there, but I want to do more than just be there. I want my glory to overflow in your life to the point where you feel like my presence is tangible, to the point where you feel like you can reach out and touch me because I'm so close and so real in your life. I want to manifest myself. Yes, the presence of God is wonderful, but if we only have the presence of God, then the reality is that we're experiencing something that's no different than the unbeliever, right?
That's right.
Because the unbeliever has the presence of God surrounding him, right?
That's right.
But the unbeliever doesn't experience the manifested presence of God. And it's only when we experience the manifested presence of God that God is able to leave an indelible mark in our lives that can't be erased.
Amen. And that's the truth anyhow. I'm grateful to God for that, sir, because, again, it really points to the essence of what the connection is in the relationship that we're supposed to have in Christianity and in Christ, because he's telling us this. Get out of your religious way of thinking about how things should be and how they should react.
Yes.
I'm trying to tell you, you're really very clueless about the things that how they should go because you don't have the mind that I have. So what I want you to do is to trust me and then just act upon that trust by believe and then exercise your faith.
Yes. And understand that the Bible clearly we wrestle not against flesh and blood, powers, principalities, spiritual wickednesses in high places, right? And Jesus understood that. So when the Pharisees were around and they were condemning, in Matthew chapter 15, condemning the disciples because they hadn't washed their hands before they eat, before they had eaten.
Yes,
Jesus
sir.
Recognized that he wasn't fighting with the people, but he was fighting with that spirit, right? The
yes.
spirit of religion, the spirit
yes.
of tradition. That spirit isn't dead. It's still alive today. It still exists today. The same spirit
church.
That permeated the hearts of the Pharisees are in a lot of churches that are open up
yes.
on Sunday mornings. And if we're not keen to the spirit, we won't be able to identify it. We won't be able to fight it off. And you can see the religious spirit is subtle, right?
Yes.
The religious spirit creeps into your heart, and it takes a hold of you. And it's too late by the time you recognize it, right?
Yes.
So for example, you know, it creeps in, you know, the Sunday that your pastor isn't preaching. And you
yes.
say stuff like, but the pastor isn't preaching, I don't need to go. See, the religious spirit, it's kind of, it's already got a little bit of a foothold when you reach that point because you start to realize that all your pastor is just a mouthpiece.
That's
it's,
right.
It's God that speaks through your pastor. So
that's right.
if your pastor is speaking, if your pastor is not speaking, God is still speaking. Your allegiance should be more to the voice of God than
that's
it is
right.
to the voice of man.
That's right.
But when you start saying things like that,
they're not, sir.
Religious spirit might have taken hold.
Absolutely, because what that religious spirit represents, and there's a parable in the Bible about that, when it talks about the wheat and the tares.
Yes.
It morphs itself
yes.
into look like wheat. And it
yes.
looked like it'll look like a relationship with the Lord because
right.
you're saying the right things. Like Jesus said this about folks. He says, you know, and it's in the Old Testament as well, but he spoke this to them, the Pharisees and those religious rulers that day. You honor
mm-hmm.
me with your lips, but your
mm-hmm.
heart is far from.
Far from. Yep, yep, yep.
That's a religious folk.
Absolutely. And he even said, you make the word of God of no effect.
Come on, sir.
With your traditions. The traditions of men, they were nullifying the word of God.
Yes, sir.
What the Pharisees had really done is on top of the Ten Commandments that were given by God, and the over 200 commandments that really exist in the first five books of the Bible
right.
in the books of Moses, they
That's
had
right.
added additional laws on top of laws that were, you know, crazy, that no human being could live up to, and that we're totally, you know, constraining people from really experiencing this God. And
That's
Jesus
right.
clearly told them, because you have placed your traditions above the word, you nullify the word. And that's
right.
a dangerous place to be in. Because the word should be the priority in our lives.
Yes,
the word
yes,
of God should be in a place of preeminence. In our lives. And when we nullify the word with our own laws and rules and regulations, then ultimately what we've done is we've shut up the voice of God from speaking to our hearts.
I know that's right, sir. And what you just identified, and it happened with those folks there, but it happens with us today. And what religiosity does, it retards your spiritual growth.
Yes, yes.
It strangles it.
Yes, yes, yes. It does. It does. But the sad part about it is when the religious spirit has a stranglehold on you, the religious spirit is stunting. I think you're growing,
yes.
right? The religious spirit will play tricks on your mind. The root is not resting in God, but because you can quote. You know, Genesis through Revelation, you think you're progressing in God.
Yes, sir.
Because you speak in tongues, and because you know the hymn and the hymnal, you think you're progressing in God. Because you have people calling you, and you pray for those people, and people identify you as an intercessor, you think you're progressing in God. When in actuality, you're as far away from God as the unbeliever, right? You might be saved. But the reality is that you're not progressing. You're
That's
dying.
Right.
You're shriveling spiritually.
That's right. And there's another scripture that coincides with what you just said. Like there's going to be a time in the great day when there's going to be somebody's going to come before the Lord, the Lord God, and that, I believe that they go in there believing they're going to get some crowns, and they're going to stand before Him, and they're going to say, you know, Lord, did I not prophesy in Your name? Did I not heal and deliver in Your name? And the righteous judge says, you depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you.
Never knew you.
Sad thing to happen.
Sad thing, and it ought to shake every believer to the core.
Thank you, sir.
Because it's a picture of God. You know, gifts are without repentance, right? God still being able to use you.
Yes.
But you not being connected, right? We serve a God that can make a donkey talk.
Yes.
Speak out of a burning bush. So He can use you to do amazing things and to bless people, but publicly you're a wonder, but privately you're a blunder, because
right.
your heart isn't connected and plugged in to the God of the miracle, of the work. You get comfortable doing the work that you forget about the God of the work. And when you reach that point, that's when God will pull the rug out from under you and say, now you've got to learn of me all over again.
That's right.
And it's just the way that God works. It's just the way that God works. I was just gonna say, you know, I believe that God has called me to kind of blow the trumpet.
And really kind of
alert believers to this spirit, because it's permeating a lot of churches, particularly African-American churches. And it's something that is choking the life out of our spiritual progression. There's a difference between being involved in a church culture and being involved in a Christ culture.
You can
be a part of a church culture, but be far from a Christ culture. And you know, God is really putting on heart to introduce people who might have been in church for 30, 40 years, they still need to be introduced to a Christ culture, which is totally different than a church culture.
And I know that's right, because there's another illustration that the Lord is going to let me use for this. Martha and Mary, the friends, the sisters of Lazarus.
Yes.
When Jesus showed up at their house, Martha was very busy doing a lot of church work, getting everything together, you know, doing it. It was good work. But she went to Jesus because she was upset because Mary was sitting down at Jesus' feet.
Yes.
We'll get to there. But then Martha said, well, you know, Master, are you not concerned that I've got all this work that I'm doing, and my sister ain't doing nothing? Why don't you speak to her and get her to help me? Jesus said, Martha, 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 you're busy about a lot of things. But this thing that Mary does is needful. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between being religious and being in a relationship with the Lord. You do that what is really religious, you do busy work.
Right.
You do a lot of church work, but when you're in a relationship with the Lord, you do that which is needful.
Absolutely. And Martha, you know, kind of seems she kind of upset, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
How come, Lord, you don't tell her to get up and do what I'm doing? You know what I mean? It's Luke 15 with the prodigal son.
Yes.
And you see, a lot of times we like to malign the prodigal son, one we need to focus on is that older brother.
The older
older brother who stayed in the house. Older brother who didn't leave and who continued working and who continued doing the things that thought pleased his father.
Yes, sir.
When the prodigal son came home, caught an attitude.
His brother.
His brother, because he thought, wait a minute, I've been working and I've been serving and I've been doing this since 1962, you know. and he became upset and frustrated at the fact that somebody was coming back to the Father.
That's right.
And that's dangerous.
Oh,
and we gotta be able to. But here's the thing here's the curveball. Starts with leadership.
Yes, sir.
It starts with the men and the women of God who God has blessed with positions of leadership to realize that, number one, the members of our churches are just sheep.
Yes.
And sheep need to be led.
Yes, sir.
And if sheep are being impacted and affected by the religious spirit, We need to look at ourselves.
Yes.
And we need to say, what am I conveying? What am I sharing? What am I showing? Now, you know, I might be able to preach an amazing word, but
yes.
But what do I look like to my people? Do I look like somebody that's untouchable? Do I look like somebody that, that's on a high spiritual plane that I don't fall or don't struggle? And am I failing to be transparent with my people so that they know that I'm just human? You know,
yes.
we as leaders have to really step back and say, am I opening the door to this religious spirit?
That's right.
I the one that allows the religious spirit to come and pick off my sheep by my actions? And
right.
And that kind of, you know, that another earmark of my ministry is simplicity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's the relevant piece, but then there's the simplicity piece.
Yes.
Understanding that the greatest in the kingdom isn't the greatest preacher.
That's right.
The greatest in the kingdom isn't the greatest psalmist or the greatest prophet or it's the greatest servant.
Yes.
So our greatest endeavor shouldn't be to be in magazines and on TV and in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Our greatest endeavor should be to serve at the fullest extent
Amen.
That we possibly can.
Amen.
And I think that when we show the people the true, genuine heart of a servant, then the people will be able to understand, wait a minute, this is bigger than my pastor.
Yes,
sir. This is bigger than my bishop.
That's
this
right.
is about a God that he's completely submitted to that I'm going to follow hard after.
Amen. And I'm going to give two illustrations of that, what you just talked about. The greater
mm-hmm.
is not the greater, it's the least. We're going to
mm-hmm.
go first off with David.
Mm-hmm.
And when Saul fell out of favor with God, and God
mm-hmm.
told the prophet, go to the house of Jesse and anoint me the next king. I say
yes.
What happened was Jesse paraded his seven sons that came out of Hollywood casting for kings. He brought out Yul
yes.
Brynner, Charlton
yes.
Heston, all those Sir Lawrence Olivier, all those that looked like kings. That's who he brought before the prophet. And then
mm-hmm.
God says, none of them. And then he says, the prophet says, wait a minute, this cannot be all the sons that you have, because, again, God is not a man that he can lie, Numbers 23:19. And then Isaiah 55:11
right.
backs that up. And he says,
right.
there's got to be somebody else. Well, I got this little ruddy boy out back. He ain't nothing but a little shepherd.
Yes.
Bring him in here.
Yes.
Brought him in there. Oil came down. And they didn't just did a little dab of dewy when they did that back in the day. They poured that thing on, a whole vat of it. And it just flowed
right.
down him. And God said, that's the one. That was David, the least of them, of his brothers. And then
right.
the greatest example that we ever had, Christ himself. He came as a shepherd.
Yes, yes.
From a carpenter,
yes.
according to his natural lineage, from a father who was a carpenter, out of a place
yes.
that people said, well, could any good thing come from Nazareth? Could any good thing come from the projects or something
right.
like that?
right,
you know,
right.
He
right,
came,
right.
and they
right.
had an idea what they wanted him to be, but he wasn't that. He did not come
right.
here to be a king and overthrow no Roman government. He came here because we were messed up in our spiritual relationship with the Lord. He came back to restore that it once was in the beginning. But he was
right.
the least of them. And he said that.
Right.
He says, listen, the great shall be last, and the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And it's all about
right.
the least of these. And he always talked about the least of these. When he did that
right.
illustration about when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was in prison,
right.
did you visit me? And they said, well, Lord, when did we do that? You never went in jail or hungry or anything like that. When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And I think leaders, we have to go back to that.
Yes,
the
sir.
Jesus style of ministry is a style of ministry that says, even though I'm the God of the universe, God in flesh, I will walk.
That's right.
Just imagine. And Peter was like, no, don't wash my feet, Lord, because Peter understood the ramifications. And Jesus still stooped down to
yes.
wash the dusty feet of the disciples. And I think as leaders, we have, that's the Jesus style of ministry that says, even though I'm the God of the universe, even though I can be born in a palace somewhere, I'm going to be born in a stable around animals.
Right?
Even though in Jerusalem, to a parade of a bunch of shit like royalty, I'm gonna come on the back of a donkey.
That's right.
The Jesus style ministry. I'm going to shine the light on my Father.
Yes.
Because I want people to understand that I'm just doing what He sent me to do.
That's
right,
right, sir.
And I think every single leader in pulpits all across this country ought to take that snapshot from Jesus and apply it to our lives and hold it up to our congregations for everybody to see. That's why I love my pastor, and there are a lot of pastors that are doing this.
Yes.
Our mission at our church is to make Jesus famous. And
thank
so
Jesus.
He does some things strategically that promotes that mission. For example,
yes.
He doesn't put his picture on any of the marketing materials.
Mm.
Now,
amen.
We don't knock anybody that does. We don't say that that's sin or but he strategically doesn't do it because he doesn't want people to see the flyer to him.
That's right.
He wants people to see the marketing materials, be curious about the church, not to come to see the pastor, but to come to see Jesus.
That's right.
And then he's just the side dish where Jesus is the main course.
Amen.
I love that. I love that heart and that mentality, because I believe that it glorifies and exalts Jesus.
Yes.
While keeping us as leaders in the proper place.
And it's a man after God's own heart, because like you said about Jesus, when they try to exalt him, he says, no, I came to serve.
That's right. That's right.
And for those that need to have a clear understanding, when you hear somebody say minister this or minister that, that only means servant.
Yeah.
So that
means
everyone has been called to be a servant.
Yes,
in Christ,
absolutely.
And people like to say, "Well, I can't do anything because I'm not a minister, I'm not a pastor." No, you've been called into service.
That's right.
That's why
right.
He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, not so we can get salvation and sit on it.
That's right. But so that we can serve. Absolutely.
Right.
And everybody that's listening, everybody that's saved, everybody that's a part of the kingdom has something that they need to be doing.
That's right, sir.
Has an area where they need to be serving.
That's
has
right.
Something that they can contribute to the kingdom. Honestly, the people in the church that deserve the most honor aren't the ones that are on the front lines.
That's right.
The people in the churches that deserve the most honors are the ones that keep the churches clean.
Yes.
The ones that look after the baby while people are able to get fed in the service. The ones that, you know, are serving the food to the people of God so that they can stay for 2-3 services without being bailed. Those are the heroes in history. And I think in this church culture, what has happened is, you know, we've created Christian celebrities. listen, I don't I'm not anybody, because I believe that and I believe that God will make your name great, and I believe that God gives gifts to men, and He will make room for your gift and put you before great men. So I don't knock anybody that's on TV. I believe that that's amazing, and one day I believe God is going to open up my ministry.
That's right.
But let's keep the main thing the main thing.
At the end of the day,
you know, the most powerful people are the people you'll never hear about, the people that you'll never, you know, read their names or see their names on signs or on billboards or in bulletins. Those are some of the most powerful and significant people.
And you're right about that, because the Word of God supports exactly what you said, because what we're talking about is those folks that have that elementary school mentality about show and tell.
Right.
Those are the ones. But the ones that God is concerned about is the ones that do their alms in secret.
Yeah.
And then your Heavenly Father will reward you openly.
Openly. That's right. As a matter of fact, you know, he said that the Pharisees that stand out there praying in the public and
yes, sir.
The ones that fast and make it known that you know, that they're fasting by having sudden looks on their face,
yes, sir.
They have their reward. They have. But if you go and pray in private, fast in private, I will reward you openly.
Absolutely.
I think that that's beautiful, 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 and well put. And then we see this testimony, this thread woven throughout Paul's epistles, right? Paul,
yes.
who wrote two-thirds of the gospel,
yes,
the majority of the gospel, who was the ambassador of the gospel to the Gentiles,
yes, sir.
Was one of the most transparent people ever.
Yes.
I mean, good Lord, you read Romans chapter 7, and you begin to see Paul stripped there and let you into his struggles, and he calls himself the chief sinner, and then in 2 Corinthians 12 where he talks about the thorn in his flesh,
yes,
because
sir.
He didn't need to be exalted too highly. He had gone to the third heaven and he had seen visions and heard things that no man could utter. He was one of the most transparent men on the face of the planet Earth, but had a position of status within the church, at least.
Yes, sir.
And I think that the Apostle Paul is an amazing example for every leader today.
Yes, sir.
Because the Apostle Paul understood his authority as an apostle,
mm-hmm.
which is why he wrote 2 Corinthians. He understood his authority as apostle.
Yes, sir.
But he also understood that he was relating to Timothy, or if he was,
yes.
or if he was talking to the church in Corinth. I've still got to show my humanity, and help you to understand that yes, I have authority as an apostle, but I'm still human and I'm still seeking and searching after the same God that you're seeking and searching after, and I haven't already obtained.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, I've got some things that I've got to get right.
Yes,
but
sir.
One thing that we're both doing, we're pressing toward the mark, and I love that about Paul.
And you know, I loved about what you said about the transparency, because it takes me back to the beginning, that I think people
yep.
just missed this part of the scripture where God joined man and woman together, and it says, mm-hmm. so shall a man, as Genesis 2nd chapter 24th, mm-hmm. starting at 24th verse, so shall man leave his father, so shall a man leave his father and his mother and cling unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh, and they
yes.
both were naked and not ashamed.
And not ashamed.
And
yep.
in the New Testament, for us to understand what that means that you can confess everything about you.
Yes.
Let it be
yes.
out there. Be transparent.
Yes.
As we started
yes.
from the beginning when you were explaining about yourself, very transparent. When you're that,
yes.
you can be naked and not ashamed. The devil cannot
that's
shame
right.
you about your
right.
past when you're naked.
Right. And I think when we catch that revelation, and even in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb
ahead,
and the word of their testimony. It's amazing that the word of testimony is mentioned in the same breath as the blood of the Lamb.
My.
Let's think about that for a minute.
Go ahead.
The blood and then the word of the testimony. Connected
yes,
together is how we overcome. The
mm-hmm.
blood, of course, without it, we can't receive remission of sins. But then right along with that is the word of our testimony that will help people to overcome. When we
Amen.
Shut up the word of our testimony, then we are killing a generation of overcomers. When we stop opening our mouths and telling our story, then we are making it difficult for people would hear us to overcome what they're going through. And
Amen.
That's a shame because I think ultimately the root cause behind somebody that will not share their testimonies are two
mm-hmm.
things, pride or fear.
Yes, sir.
So
yes,
either,
sir.
Either I'm not going to share my testimony because I've got a reputation to uphold.
Yes.
I've got this position at church, and if I tell my testimony, then people might think differently of me.
That's
and
right.
And pride keeps them from sharing their testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Or flip side, fear. What will people think? What will people say? But the
my
devil
mind.
Is a liar. The
That's
devil
right,
is a liar. And once we get the courage to talk about the wounds, to roll up our sleeves and show the scars, then we'll see countless numbers of people that are going through what we went through,
yes,
overcome what they're going through. And that's the Jesus Style ministry.
That's what that is.
I believe that's Jesus. Yeah, because, I mean, Jesus could have died anyway.
Yes, he could have.
He could have died anyway, right? He could have died anyway,
yes,
his blood anyway. But
no man takes his life. He laid it down.
He laid it down, and he did it publicly.
Yes, sir.
Which is a powerful thing. He was beaten publicly. He,
yes,
was,
sir,
hoisted on that cross for everybody to see. He was,
uh-huh,
beaten so badly you couldn't even distinguish whether he was a man or a woman. He wasn't even recognizable, and he didn't do it behind closed doors.
No,
he didn't do it, you know, under the veil of you know, secrecy, but he,
mm-hmm,
did it so that all in Jerusalem could see. If we're supposed to walk like Jesus and conform to his image, it means that hey, if I went through a crucifixion, I don't mind making it public, because,
yes,
I know that if I make my crucifixion public, then the resurrection will be public too.
Come on, sir.
It won't just be my resurrection, but
that's
it'll
right.
be the resurrection of those that are there with me while I'm crucified, or
that's
that
right.
will hear the story of me being crucified.
That's
and,
right.
And then, you know, faith comes by hearing, and
mm-hmm.
hearing by the word of God, and I think
mm-hmm.
we got to get back to that.
Amen. I wholeheartedly agree. Well, you've been listening to Mantle of God broadcast and ministry, amen, and brought to you by Interpraisement Media Group and sponsored by Nathan on the Spot. And my name is Minister Arthur L. Weathersby. Like I said, I'm sitting in for Minister Prophet Faith Walker, amen, the visionary of EMG, and we've been having a joyous time. I mean, just a blessed, anointed time, allowing the man of God to just come forth and allow the Lord just to speak through him. That would be Pastor Isaiah Robertson. Amen. And we were totally blessed, and we hope at some point in time that we can get him again, and maybe he'll just deliver a message to y'all. He did that tonight on several occasions, but we're just going to let him preach the next time, prayerfully. I've really been blessed. And again, I'm also the co-host of EMG's Unless the Lord Builds the House, that comes on Saturday evening from 9 p.m. until 10:30 p.m. The same call-in number, 347-945-5416. And I don't do that by myself, but I do that with the one that the Lord has given me, that we're going to eventually end up being married. Amen. And we've been following the blueprint, I tell you that. That's packed out on and past the Sherry O'Scales currently of Sound the Alarm Ministries at 2169 Cleveland Avenue in the city of Columbus, Ohio, but she will soon be in Wilmington, Delaware, where I reside.
All
right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're one in the spirit already. We got married in the spirit.
Yes, sir.
That's how God did that.
Yes, sir.
Because
yes, sir.
I saw
yes,
it.
Sir.
He showed it to me. That's the way it had to be. You build that relationship from there, and it flows from there.
Amen.
That's the way he showed it to me. So, sir, I'm going to let you pray us out. You just do what
yes.
you need to do in prayer, and you pray us out of here.
Sure. And let me just mention this.
Make some announcements.
Yeah, I would love people to contact me. You can contact me on Facebook, www.facebook.com/IRMinistries. That's I like igloo, R like rock. Ministries, and I would love to hear from you. Drop me a line, tell me that you heard me tonight, and let's connect. But I'd love to pray.
Go ahead, sir.
All right. Father, we thank you so much for all that you're doing through Interpraisement Media, all that you're doing through your diligent servants that are stepping out, God, on what you've called them to do. I pray a special blessing, Lord, upon those that operate the airwaves, upon those that are casting vision, upon those that are charged with the mandate to move this ministry forward. Continue to pour into them. Continue to bless them for all they do. I pray for every single listener, Lord. Every single listener under the sound of my voice right now, and every single listener that has ever listened to this program, Lord, I pray that you would impart something, Lord God, some wisdom, some knowledge, some understanding through this broadcast that will enrich their lives and bring them to a new level of relationship. And I thank you, Father God, that these listeners will run and tell some about what you said to them through this medium. We love you, God. We praise you. We give you glory for all that you are and all that you've done.
Amen, amen. And I thank you, sir. And you can be assured that I'm going to get a hold to you because we got some more talking to do, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Yes,
sir. We're talking to you. I'm recognizing that divine connection that the Lord is making in these days, and He's been doing that for me for the past several months now. And I just thank God because it's all about the furthering of the kingdom and the gospel.
Sir.
And I think that's what God is doing. He's rallying His troops in these last and evil days. And He's not looking for folks that are sitting on the sideline that have.
No, sir.
We're in the army of the Lord. God does not call us to inactive duty or inactive reserve. It's active service. And right now He's calling out some of His warriors that are sold out, got their minds made up and have a mantle to be able to go forth and are not afraid to just to say what thus saith the Lord about whatever it is that God has placed within their spirit and within their heart to get out to the people. Because, again, Hosea 4:6 lets me know that my people perish from lack of knowledge. But I was thinking about that, and I said that my people is just everybody.
Right.
But Second Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, is for the church. And that's where God is really pushing people to come and speak to the church. Because, if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and pray, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their lands. And that healing of the lands is not about no property. In your homes, your marriages, your relationships in general, your job, your neighborhood, and even in your churches, if you just do what He says to do, He'll heal your land. And we thank you. We thank you so much, sir. I've really been blessed. We've had a grand time in the Lord on this evening.
Yes, sir.
And I know that
sir.
Those that heard were blessed. We didn't have anyone punch in and ask questions, but I presume they just said, well, you know what I like when I'm here, and I'm just going to stay here and just listen. Praise God. And they can go to the recording. Go at Blog Talk Radio / Nathan on the Spot. And when we're done, that recording is going to be available.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So God bless you, sir. Thank you so much
for
coming on. And like
yes,
I said, we're going to be looking to get a hold to you again, and I'm going to look to get a hold to you too. So we got some work to do.
Yeah. Let's do it, man. Let's do it. I'm down.
All right, sir.
All right,
God bless
buddy.
Everyone. This
you
is
too.
The mantle of God, and I'm just going to do a little benediction that I always like to do that coincides with what we said. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before His presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. Bye-bye. That's my song.